2 Kings chapter 19, verses 19 to 21. So Elijah went from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat. He was plowing with 12 yokes of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. Elisha then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. "Let me kiss my father and mother goodbye," he said, "and then I will come with you." Elijah replied, "What have I done to you?" So Elisha left him and went back. He took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He burned the ploughing equipment to cook the meat and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah and became his assistant. May God bless this reading of his holy word. Amen.
Good morning. It's a joy to be able to share God's word with you again. Our title for the message this morning is, "What is a disciple?" Something wrong with the PowerPoint? Sorry about the technical breakdown. Meanwhile, watch some advertisements. Kidding. Might just carry on. What is a disciple? You know, our Lord Jesus told us in his Great Commission, in the various Gospels, that we are to go and make what? Can someone tell me? Make? That's right. But very often you find that maybe an evangelist will say, we go to a certain city and leave that city, and they say, we have so many decisions in that city. Or perhaps you have heard of a missionary team that goes to a certain city overseas, and they'll come back and they'll say, we have so many decisions in our meetings. But I think the Bible never talked about decisions. It talked about making disciples. It's important to realize that the word disciple occurs in the New Testament 269 times. Christian only 3 times, and the believers only 2 times. If you want to know whether anything real and lasting was done, don't count the decisions. Count the disciples. There are people who are really following the Lord Jesus Christ. The passage that was read earlier by our sister is an episode in the life of one of God's great prophets, whose name was Elijah. And it's about his encounter with his disciple, Elisha. And encounter led to Elisha becoming the follower or disciple of Elijah. We see the discipleship of Elisha as a disciple of Elijah, we learn something of how we ourselves are to be disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the Bible says that Jesus came in the spirit of Elijah. That is, Elijah is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, it's a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when Jesus called his disciples and taught them about discipleship, I'm sure that his disciples had some idea of this story of Elijah and Elisha in their background. So this morning I want to give you 4 basic facts that are true in the life of a disciple of Jesus. And I pray that God will make them true in your life and in mine. The first fact is this: a disciple is someone who has a person to please. Disciple is someone who has a person to please. Look in verse 19. He departed from there and found Elisha. And the he in this verse 19, refers to Elijah, the prophet. Elijah found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 pairs of oxen before him, and he with the 12. Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle on Elisha. And the mantle was a robe that a prophet would wear, and it was the sign and the signature of a prophet. And verse 20 tells us, Elisha left the oxen and he ran after Elijah. Now underscore that, Elisha ran after Elijah. And he said, please let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will come and follow you. Understand? He said, I will follow you. Now, when Elijah threw his mantle to Elisha, that just simply meant, I want you to come and follow after me. But it says in the last verse of 21, he arose and followed Elijah and ministered to him. Do you minister to Christ? I mean, are you here to please him in all that you do? Ministering to Christ comes before service for Christ. We must minister to Jesus before we can minister to anyone else. In 2 Kings chapter 3 verse 11, we find out that Elisha used to pour water on the hands of Elijah. And that is, he just went around saying, Elijah, when it's time for your meal, you don't need to go down to the well to wash your hands. Here I am. I have this pitcher of water, and I will pour it on your hands, and I will dry your hands. I am your personal servant. I am your slave. Is a disciple. A disciple is one who follows his master. A disciple is someone who is dedicated to a person. There is a person to please. Could be a disciple. I'm not calling you to join a movement. I'm not calling you to join a church even. I'm not calling you to follow a plan. And foremost, I'm calling you to follow a person and to please that person, who is other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, the one person on earth that you desire to please more than anyone else. Your life consumed with a burning desire to follow him. A person to please. He didn't follow Elijah because he had nothing to do in his life or couldn't do anything else. So for us, follow the Lord Jesus Christ because we have nothing to do or could do anything else. But he is the person we want to please. So young, brilliant concert pianist who was performing for the very first time in public. The audience sat there mesmerized as the beautiful music flowed from his disciplined fingers. And the people could hardly take their eyes off this young pianist. But final note faded out. The audience burst into applause. And everyone was standing except one old man up front. And the walked off the stage looking very sad. The manager praised his performance, but the young man said, I was no good. It was a total failure. But the manager replied, look out there. Everyone is on their feet applauding you. Why are you so sad? Yeah, the young pianist said dejectedly, because the one old man is my teacher. Do we live to please God just as that pianist's desire is to please his teacher? Definitely, pleasing God and bringing a smile on his face is what really matters. Is there a person to please? If you are a disciple of Jesus, there is a price you must pay. There is a price to pay. If you are looking for an easy way, a cheap way, or a lazy way to be a disciple of Jesus, I feel there's no such thing. Ask Elisha to follow Elijah. Look this passage again in 1 Kings 19 verse 21. Elisha, he was a very successful man. He was the leader, the head, the foreman in the ranch. He was plowing with 12 pairs of oxen. Well, you may understand this, but in those days, if you had even one pair of oxen, you were wealthy. But here was a man who was successful. with 12 heads of oxen. And he said, "Listen, Elijah, I will leave all of this and I will go and follow you." His personal reputation, his personal relationships, his personal riches, the plows, the oxen, all of them. As a matter of fact, if you look in verse 21, he returned back from him and took a pair of oxen and he sacrificed them. Now, that would be like a person taking two Mercedes-Benz and giving them to the work of the Lord today. A pair of oxen, and he killed them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave to the people and they ate. It was a celebration. It was a barbecue. And Elisha said, "This plow, these oxen, this ranch, my parents, I leave them all behind to follow Elijah." Position, parents, I leave them all behind. It caused the early disciples of Jesus. In Matthew 4:19-22, Jesus said this to his disciples. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were both with their father Zebedee preparing their nets, and Jesus caught them. And he too, immediately they left the boat and their father and followed Jesus. Early disciples of Jesus left their livelihood and their loved ones to follow Jesus. I tell you that it will cost you dearly as well. Listen to the words of Jesus in Luke 14:26-27. "Anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." But hate is used here in a comparative sense. This is a hyperbole. The truth of the matter is, when you love Jesus, you will love your father and your mother and your brothers and your sisters more, not less. But Jesus is saying that your love for me must make your love for all these people in comparison to look like hate. You cannot have two masters ultimately. And nothing can come between Jesus and you, the disciple. In other words, there is a price to pay. You know, some of my friends back in Singapore in 1999, when I decided to come over here to serve, they say, "Well, it must be so hard for you to quit your job, a relatively good paying job, to go to New Zealand to serve God. What a price you pay." It gets me to think about the price I was paying. For myself, I haven't missed a meal in all these 13 years in New Zealand. I slept on a nice soft bed. And I live not in a mansion, but in an okay house. I have shed a drop of blood for Jesus. I think most of us don't really know about paying a price in order to be a Christian. What it is all about. In July this year, I was ministering in Kunming, the capital city of Yunnan province in South China. Privileged to meet up with an 80 over years old Chinese pastor. High price for his faith in Jesus. In prison from 1950 to 1970 by the communists. And while he was in prison, he was made to carry coal on his back for years and years and years. Because of the weight of the coal, it was too hard for him to bear. Over time, his back just collapsed and he couldn't stand upright anymore. Finally released 20 years later from prison, he couldn't stand upright like a normal person. Even after his release, his family continued to be persecuted by the communists every now and then. That Chinese pastor, over 80 years old, he is still pastoring a house church somewhere in Kunming. And I went to his home to have a meal with him. What a privilege. The man knows what it is to pay a price to be a disciple of Jesus. Story in the Challenge newspaper some time ago. It was a story about some Christians in the UK who have been either dismissed from their jobs or disciplined by their employers because of their Christian faith. Two of them wanted to wear crosses to work, but were told they couldn't do that. Then a Christian counselor was sacked because he felt that he could not give sex advice to a homosexual couple. Then a council registrar was disciplined because she refused on religious ground to register same-sex partnerships. They all argued in the European Court of Human Rights that the UK government had failed to protect their religious liberty. Representing the UK government replied with these words, and I quote the article, "Christians, when they walk out the door to work in the morning, should leave their faith at home." What is this? New Zealand going the same way as UK. Ask myself a question. What price am I willing to pay to be a disciple of Jesus? You to ask yourself that question too. Disciple has a person to please. Disciple has a price to pay. Fact about a true disciple is this. A disciple has a purpose to persist. I want you to fast forward now to 2 Kings chapter 2 verses 1 to 10. Up the story there. God was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. But Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here. The Lord has sent me to battle." But Elisha said, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." Now to battle. Verse 3, "The company of the prophets at Bethel came out to Elisha and asked, 'Do you think the Lord is going to take your master from you today?' 'Yes, I know,' Elisha replied. 'So be quiet or shut up.'" Verse 4, "Then Elijah said to him, 'Stay here, Elisha, the Lord has sent me to Jericho.' And he replied, 'As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you.' So to Jericho, the company of the prophets at Jericho went up to Elisha and asked him, 'Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?' 'Yes, I know,' he replied. 'So be quiet.' The third time, then Elijah said to him, 'Stay here. The Lord has sent me to the Jordan.' And he replied, 'As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you.' So the two of them walked on. 50 men from the company of the prophets went and stood at a distance, facing the place where Elijah and Elisha had stopped at the Jordan. And Elijah took his cloak, rolled it up, and struck the water with it. And the water divided to the right and to the left, and the two of them crossed over on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, 'Tell me, what can I do for you before I'm taken from you? Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit.' Elisha replied, 'You have asked a difficult thing.' Elijah said, 'Yet if you see me when I'm taken from you, it will be yours. Otherwise, it will not.'" The idea in this passage in 2 Kings chapter 2 is this. Elijah, the master, is testing his disciple, Elisha. Elijah acts as if he wants to leave Elisha. But three times he says, "Elisha, you stay here. I'm going over to such and such a place. You just stay behind. Don't follow me." Elisha said, "Where you go, I am going. I'm not going to leave you." Elisha had his eyes fixed on Elijah, the man of God, and he would not be separated from Elijah. Elijah really want Elisha to stay behind? I don't think so. You know, many times, God will do the same with you and I. Many times, God is going to test us to see how persistent we have purpose to follow him. The story of that Syrophoenician woman who had a little demon-possessed girl in Matthew chapter 15. This came to Jesus and he said, "Jesus, please heal my daughter." And Jesus said to her, "Why? I haven't been sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I'm going to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs." Can you imagine Jesus speaking in that way? But the woman said, "Well, that's the truth. You shouldn't take the children's bread and give it to the dogs." But she said, "Even the dogs get the crumbs that fall from the table." The first word that Jesus used for dog was a word that meant household pets. Quite an okay term. But the word that the woman used for dog meant something else. It meant a dirty stray dog. In other words, she's saying, "Yes, I am a dog. Even worse than what you have said, Jesus. But I still want the crumb from the table." Said, "O woman, great is your faith. You have what you have asked for." The woman persisted in asking. She was in her heart to persist until something happens. Bible about old Jacob wrestling with an angel. Genesis 32. Angel was an angel of Yahweh. In fact, the angel was the Lord Jesus himself. In this case, it's the theophany, where you have the pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus in the Old Testament. Wrestled the angel with Jacob throughout the night. How many of you have an experience wrestling with an angel? Do you want to have an experience? Do you understand that the angel could have pinned Jacob anytime he wanted? The angel can out-wrestle Jacob anytime he wanted. But what did the angel say to Jacob? The angel said, "Let me go." Why? If the angel wanted to get away, he could easily get away. You know how strong is an angel? In other parts of the Old Testament, you read one time that the angel killed 185,000 Assyrian soldiers. One angel killed 185,000 Assyrian soldiers. Angel has no problem wrestling with Jacob and winning him. But the angel said, "Let me go." And old Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." Purpose in his heart to persist until he get the blessing from God. What do all these passages teach us? If you would be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, you must have a burning, blazing, passionate purpose to persist. And say, "I have my eyes fixed on the man of God," just like Elisha. "And I will follow him no matter what." The counsel of Elijah to his disciple Elisha in 2 Kings 2 verse 10. "You have asked a difficult thing," he said. "Yet if you see me when I'm taken from you, it will be yours. Otherwise, it will not." But finally, the fourth and final fact. Not only is there a person to please, not only is there a price to pay, and not only is there a purpose to persist, the disciple has a power to possess. He said to Elisha, "What do you want?" And he said in chapter 2 verse 9, "I want a double portion of the spirit that is on you." Elijah said to Elisha, "You want this power that I have? You want to be able to do the miracles that I did? You can have them. But the power that you want is linked to something. It's linked to my ascension. See me when I'm taken up from you, it will be yours." In 2 Kings chapter 2 verses 11 to 14, we read, "As they were walking along and talking, suddenly a chariot of fire appeared, drawn by horses of fire. It drove between the two men, separating them, and Elijah was carried by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it and cried out, my father, I see the chariots and charioteers of Israel. And as they disappeared from sight, Elisha tore his clothes in distress. Elisha picked up Elijah's cloak, which had fallen when he was taken up. And then Elisha returned to the bank of the Jordan River, heaved the water with Elijah's cloak, and cried out, "Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" And then the river parted, and Elisha went across. They saw Elijah being taken up into heaven. Now get this. They go over the Jordan River the first time when Elijah took that cloak, rolled it up, and struck the waters of the Jordan River. And the waters parted. And the two men walked across on dry ground. And then the water came back again. Elijah went to heaven. His cloak came down. And Elijah picked up his cloak. And then he says, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And then he struck the waters of the Jordan River. Just open up again. Means this. This is the key point. In Elisha, Elijah lived again. Elisha, Elijah lived again. When Elijah went up, Elisha received the power. As Elisha and Elijah, Jesus told his disciples, "When I am taken up, the promised Holy Spirit will come to you." 24 verses 49 to 53, Jesus said, "I am going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." He had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany. He lifted up his hands and blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. And then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And continually at the temple praising God. And in Acts 1:8 it says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You will be my witnesses." Acts 2:32-33, the Apostle Peter preaching at Pentecost said this, "God raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear." You know, on the day of Pentecost, all of his disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts 2 verse 4 tells us that. Until that time, these disciples had caused little stir in their society. How long they were caught, these men who have turned their world upside down. The difference. The dynamic power of the Holy Spirit that transformed their ministry and made it mightily effective. You cannot be a disciple of Jesus Christ apart from the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Do it on your own ability or strength. To be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is a power to possess, but power must be appropriated, just as it was in the day of Elijah and Elisha. Jesus went up, the Spirit came down. I have good news for you. God wants us the Holy Spirit. He wants to empower you and I with the Spirit of God so that we can do the good works that will glorify Jesus. Look at Luke 11 verses 11-13. It says, "Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him." Parallel passage in Matthew 7 verse 9, Jesus asks, "Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone?" Illustrating the necessity of the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus does not compare him with the luxuries of Eastern life, but with the staple food in the everyday Eastern home, such as bread, fish, eggs. Meat is too expensive for the average home and was regarded as a luxury. The point Jesus was making was that the ministry of the Holy Spirit is not a luxury we can do without. He is our daily staple, and Holy Spirit is indispensable for normal Christian living. I want to ask you a question. Where is the Lord Jesus Christ today? Lord Jesus Christ today. Know the answer. He's in just a building. In a person. He is you, and he's in me, who are disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christian disciple, Christ lives again. Jesus went up, and the Spirit came down, and the power of God was released. What is a disciple? Someone who realizes that there's a person to please, and you please him above anyone else in your life, and you minister to him. His name is Jesus. Price to pay. The cheap way. There's no easy way. Disciple of Jesus. It's a purpose to persist. No matter what obstacles there are in your way, you must have your eyes fixed on the Master. And you must say, Master, wherever you go, I am going with you. In the face of seeming discouragement, you will still want to follow him. There is a power to possess. Jesus promised us, I will send the promise of my Father on you, the Holy Spirit. I want to come before you and thank you that God, we have not chosen you, but chosen us, disciples. Lord, we are not worthy. Often we fail you in so many areas of discipleship. We know we cannot do it by our own desires or in our own strength or in our own wisdom. Thank you that you promise the Holy Spirit to empower us. By the power of the Holy Spirit, you can live again in us and through us. Glory of your name.